MZTV.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have a real treat coming up for you today. We're going to be hearing from Robert Lakey. Robert Lakey, a regular contributor to this channel in the comments. He was at the conference in, where was that? Kansas City on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it was my pleasure to meet him. As I told you, and as I will say in the introduction here, as I'm introducing Robert at the conference, he and I have had our go-arounds. He likes to say, well, according to the way I see it, and according to my opinion, which is very gracious, but you know me, I'm like, thus saith the Lord, right? So I sometimes take objection to Robert bringing something out from his thoughts and then suggesting that perhaps what I've said on my show is incorrect. And my comeback is always, well, if it's incorrect, I'll have to see it in the scriptures. Anyway, we've had our go-arounds. But I do admire anyone who can offer an opinion that maybe goes against the status quo and say that this is just my thinking according as I read the scripture. I mean, that is a mark of a gracious man to begin with. And let me tell you, and this is so true, when you meet someone in person, it takes a relationship to another level. Because when people comment, especially on social media or even these YouTube comments, you know, I mean, I tend to get a little short sometimes. Sometimes my patience is maybe a little thin, and maybe sometimes someone will say something just too outrageous, and then I will make a snappy comeback, or I will respond in kind to a snarky person. I can snark with the best of them, and it's not the best way. And when you meet people, even those with whom you've had disagreements, there's a heartfelt kinship there. And I definitely felt that with Robert, and we connected, and I think we knew that we would. I'm not saying anything's going to change with the comments. Robert will probably still come up with things that I think are, what did you say? And Robert's still going to come out and say, you know, Martin Zender's a stringent, my opinion's the only opinion that matters kind of guy. That's not, well, you know, what my answer would be, it's not my opinion. It's the word of God, thus saith the Lord. But anyway, here we go again. I'm not going to start it up, but Robert's story, let me tell you this. This is like Moses' story, a Moses story. This man was high up in the Baptist church. I mean, this is impressive. And I'm telling you, this is a Moses story of Moses giving up the treasures of Egypt. Because this man did a search and he found the truth. I'm not going to give away the story. He'll tell it to you. But, well, you know he found the truth. That's not exactly a spoiler alert. He was at this conference. So I love hearing people's stories, especially when they go from riches to rags. Nothing like a riches to rags story. That is, riches in the religious community turning to rags according to the opinion of the religious community, but the rags actually being the riches of Christ, because we know, and it's so full of scripture, starting with Moses, that anyone who leaves the stronghold of any organization, any mainstream organization, whether it's religious or political, and they go to seek the truth, and they find the truth, and they will be despised. They will be despised by their fellows, even though they have found the true treasure. Robert Lakey has found the true treasure, and he forsook the treasures of Egypt. And what an account this is. And I commend this account to you. I was privileged to be there to hear it in person and to introduce this man of God. Robert Lakey is a true man of God, and he has a message for you. He is worthy to be listened to, and here I am introducing Robert Lakey at the Kansas City Conference last weekend. Isn't it interesting? All the speakers have different ways of presenting and talking. Every single one of us are unique birds. I mean, there's no two of us alike. And so I guess it's the variety in God's creation that makes it interesting, right? Amen. So I just so enjoyed that. I enjoy the variation, and that God gives everybody a different message. And yet, as Stephen mentioned, God melds it together into a wonderful tapestry. And I see that happening here. I don't want to take a break now. What I want to do is bring a gentleman up here that I have asked to give his testimony. I promise you some testimonies. If you know the name of Robert Lakey, he's a man who comments frequently on my YouTube channel. And somehow he always finds little ways to disagree with me. Can you believe it? It's astounding. I know. I do the same thing. But we agree on so much. And I think Robert and I are a demonstration to everyone of how people can disagree and yet be brothers and yet be civil to each other and accept one another in love. We agree on far more than we disagree. In fact, it's just a little details, isn't it, Robert? But he has quite a story of his the past, and of course we've all been through some kind of religious bondage at one time or another. Robert is here from Oklahoma. This is the first conference he's ever attended. Robert Lakey, come on up here, please.
Here it goes.
Yeah, man, here it goes. Here, let's put this on you. Let's put this right there.
Okay. Well, Martin, when you asked me to give my testimony, my thought inside my mind was, what the hell for? And the reason that I thought that was because I just read in Revelation where it is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. My testimony won't save you. Jesus saves us. And the power behind his testimony is the power behind all that God has planned for us, which basically can be summed up in, he's going to save us all. I was born, no, I'll put it this way. I was conceived, and before I was born, I was in church. In a Southern Baptist church, and I wasn't just in church on Sunday, I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because in a Southern Baptist church, if you're familiar with Southern Baptist, at least when I was growing up, you went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting. And then you went to church every time there was revivals, which was generally two times a week, a year, 5 days a week, two times a year. And I went to every one of those. And I went to that from the time I was conceived to the time I graduated from high school in Sayre, Oklahoma. And I was there every time the doors was open because my mother and my father were believers that that was what they were to do for their children. My mother's father was a Baptist minister. My mother's grandfather was a circuit riding preacher, a Presbyterian preacher. My dad's dad was a deacon. My dad was a deacon in the church. As I grew up and went to law school and eventually came back to Sayre to practice and join the church and I was married, I got involved in the church just because that was what you're supposed to do and ordained a deacon. In fact, I was the youngest deacon ever ordained in that home church at the time. And I went to church every time it was open. Let me give you an example. At the height of my addiction. Because I'm a churchaholic. That's a real addiction. And at the height of my addiction, I would get up on Sunday morning and go teach a Sunday school class. I would leave early to drive as fast as I could out to a local rural church to preach the Sunday service. I would come back after that service and eat a quick lunch and then go to the nursing home and do a service. Me and my wife would do a service for the nursing home. And then I would come back to church and teach a Sunday night Bible study and leave and then go back to the church. I was there that morning and preach a sermon. And then I would come back Sunday night and get up early on Sunday morning. And I had a Bible study at a local place where people that were traveling on the interstate that came by our town would stay, and we had a Bible study for them. And then the next night I would go to a truck stop and then my wife and I would do a ministry there. I would be asked to preach, you know, and become an interim pastor to various churches in our association. And when their pastor was gone, I was often asked to preach in their churches. I rose up in the ranks, so to speak, to where eventually I was nominated to become a trustee of the International from Oklahoma to serve on the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, a convention which supports the largest contingent of missionaries in the world. At that time, we had over 5,000 missionaries in over 120 countries. We had, while I was on there, prayerfully determined we have to reach the unreached peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the next 20 years. So we identified every people group in the world that had never experienced what we thought to be the gospel and had a plan to reach them. And I thought I was serving the Lord. And I was, and if I didn't go to church or show up when I thought I should in a church activity, it was just like an addict. I would become nervous and I couldn't stand it. I had to get back to the church. And then it happened. A miracle happened. Listen, someone in that condition, so addicted to church, there's no deliverance apart from a miracle. And the miracle was in my zeal to do what I didn't tell you this. I was working full time too at the time doing all these things, raising two children and trying to attend their sporting events and that sort of thing, unless it was on a night that we were having church service, then I wouldn't let them go. But I was so felt that I needed to get in the Word of God. I need to be in the Word of God. I need to read it. And I didn't have time. So, I'm sorry. So I would set my alarm for 3 a.m. every day. And I would get up so that I could spend some time reading the Word. And then I'd go back to bed and get up and go to work the next day. And as I was researching what my denomination viewed as cults, you know, maybe the biggest cult of all, and then we were looking at other cults. I was home at my computer and I decided to type in the word hell. I typed in the word, and lo and behold, an article came up written by a man named L. Ray Smith from Florida. And he was challenging a sermon delivered by Pastor Hagee in San Antonio. And for the first, I was 50 years old, and for the first time in my life, I heard someone say, hell is not real. Everybody's going to be saved because Jesus paid the price for everyone. And I thought, that can't be true. I know better than that. I'm 50 years old, and I've done all these things for the Lord, and I've been to everywhere, mission trips and everything, trying to win people to Jesus so they wouldn't go to that place. And I said, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to prove this guy wrong. And so, listen, 5 years. For the next 5 years, I tried to prove by studying every verse in the scriptures to find everything it talked about salvation and hell. And at the end of that period of time, still doing all of my work in the church, but finally at the end, and I remember when I started it, I got on my face before God, and I said, all I'm asking, Father, is don't let me be deceived. I want to know the truth. It took 5 years, but I came to the knowledge of the truth. He was right. My denomination was wrong. I went to my pastor and the deacons, and I said, I need to meet with you. I need to share with you the most glorious news that there has ever come across. And I went to him, and I shared, and I gave him the verses to prove that Jesus has saved us all. And there's no hell to worry about. And they listened politely. They loved me. They still love me. And they rejected the message. And their response, all my close friends, was, Robert, we can't let you preach anymore. Or teach anymore. You probably need to go and start your own church. To which I said, the last thing the world needs is another church. That was about 15 years ago. This is the first time I've ever gathered with a group of believers. Thank you.